Today, I want to talk about what to do when you feel disappointed and how to motivate yourself again when you're learning a language. My name is Azarin. I'm the owner of the Calgary Language Nerds. We teach a whole bunch of different languages. If you want to work with me or anybody on my team, please visit my website. It's azarinthelanguagenerd.com. That's A-Z-R-E-N, thelanguagenerd.com. That link is in the episode box, or rather the description box, for today's episode. So as I said, today I'd like to talk about what to do when you feel disappointed and need to motivate yourself again when you're learning another language. I'd like to share some personal experiences I have with this topic, and hopefully through those personal experiences, you're able to get some learnings that help you out as well. So the first thing I want to share is something called the transition curve. I've talked about this at least a few times on the podcast before. There is another term for the transition curve. I just don't remember what it is. But regardless, that's the term I know it under. The transition curve was something I learned when I worked at a window cleaning franchise. I ran a window cleaning business for 5.5 years, and it was one of the very first things we were taught. It's the emotional roller coaster we all ride when we learn a brand new skill. We start at uninformed optimism. We're very optimistic because we know nothing about what we're going to learn. Then we get to crisis of engagement. That's the first point you realize, oh, this is going to be harder than I thought it was. Then we go down, our emotions tumble. We hit what's called, informed pessimism, if I remember correctly. Basically, you're more pessimistic because you have more information about how difficult the thing you're about to learn is. Then you hit crisis of meaning. That's rock bottom, emotionally speaking. And then after that, you either quit, which is very common, and then that ends the cycle, or you hit informed optimism, which is you continue to learn the language and you realized, oh, actually, I can do this. And so you're optimistic again. And then the whole cycle repeats. Now, hopefully over time, especially if you practice, well, over time, the goal is to flatten out the curve. So the emotional highs are not as high and the emotional lows are not as low. So you're not, it doesn't look like your heart rate monitor spiking up and down. It looks like a nice even wave, a nice even curve. So what we learned back at the window cleaning franchise that I used to run was that when you're at crisis of meaning, in other words, rock bottom, when you're there, the number one thing that gets people out of rock bottom is support. Without support, it is the odds of you quitting are considerably higher. So we learned that skill because, you know, we wanted to retain our employees, for example, and the company wanted to retain us as franchisees because they knew we're in for a very, very hard job because it was a very hard job. And so they taught us this. They taught us, listen, in order for people not to quit, the number one thing you can do is support. So whether you talk to a private tutor, whether you talk to another friend who's learning a language, whether you go to Twitter and you go to hashtag LANGTWT, Lang Twitter, basically, LANGTWT, and you say, oh my God, I'm having a really hard time learning this language. Any advice? Whether you go to my Facebook group called the Language Learning Nerds and post in there looking for support. Support is a really big factor to get yourself motivated again. So support, that's one thing I've learned. That's one thing that I've learned over the years. And in my experience, yes, that seems to be, well, it seems to be very, very helpful and quite logical at any rate. The other thing that's helpful as well is to understand how the disappointment started. You know, in my experience, one place that disappointment comes from is a discrepancy between how good you thought you were and how good you actually are. So it's really common for people to take classes, do well in the class, get good marks in the class, then try to use a language in the real world, fail miserably, have a very difficult time, and then they're very disappointed. Or maybe you're using an app, Duolingo, Babbel, whatever it is, Memorize, who cares? You're using an app, it's going well, you're collecting experience points, you're progressing in the curriculum. Every day you're stacking wins. We're going to come back to stacking wins in a moment. But you're stacking wins every single day. Everything's going great. And then you try to listen to something, a song, a show, whatever, in Spanish, whatever language. And it's really hard. You understand nothing. So you think to yourself, oh my God, I spent 60 days already on Duolingo, on Babbel, on Memorize, on this podcast program, on whatever. And when I tried to listen to the radio or something in the real world, I understood nothing. oh my God, I'm so disappointed. Is this a waste of my time? Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe language learning isn't for me. Maybe I'll come back to it later. Maybe I should take a break. All the doubtful thoughts creep into your mind. So that's at least one place where disappointment comes from. The way you are studying was giving you evidence that you're doing very well, but then you go into the real world and the real world shows you something different. So what do we do with this information? Well, there's a couple of things. So the first thing is regular interaction. Well, there's a couple of things. I haven't found a concrete solution, but there's a few things that'll hopefully help. One thing that I think is helpful is to choose when you're going to get disappointed. This is a concept I'm playing with. I'll tell you a story in a moment, but I think my hypothesis as of right now is that you have to choose when you're going to be disappointed, because you are going to be disappointed. That, I think, is unavoidable, at least to an extent. You can minimize it. Yeah, I get it. But generally speaking, you probably are going to have moments where you hit some disappointment, frustration, things don't go as you wanted to, you make some mistakes. That's going to happen. But I think you have to choose your battles. So if you look at apps such as Duolingo is probably a very good example, I would say. But I haven't actually used it myself in a very long time. But many gamified apps that are very addictive, they do a great job at stacking wins. I used that term earlier. Stacking wins basically means that you get rewarded all the time and you can basically build on those wins all the time. So a good example of stacking wins could be a streak. You have a 5-day streak, a 10-day streak. You don't want to lose the streak. And then best of all, it's easy to keep the streak. You do 5-10 minutes, you keep your streak. So it's easy to then keep your streak and keep getting a win every single day. You win, 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 win. Another word for win, if stacking wins, if that concept doesn't really, maybe those are the wrong words for you. You're basically getting lots of positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement to say, yes, you're on the right track. Yes, you're on the right track. Good job. You collected these experience points. You passed level 1.1. Now you're on level 1.2. Wow, congratulations. You completed unit 1. And oh my God, you did it in only 14 days. That's 28% faster than everybody else that uses the app. So you're getting all this positive reinforcement over and over and over and over and over. And you're getting relatively small negative reinforcement. So I say relatively small because maybe in the app, whatever you're using the app example, of course, you are making some mistakes in the app. It's not like you get 100% on everything. But the vast majority of your experience using whatever product, whatever app, for example, is positive. So for the most part, you're stacking your wins. You're getting lots of positive reinforcement, very little negative reinforcement, or rather negative, well, reinforcement's not the right word, but negative experiences, let's just say. And as a general whole, I think that's a good practice. But what ends up happening is people get surprised by the disappointment. Everything is going well every day. Your brain learns, oh, when I go to learn French, Spanish, Japanese, Arabic, Mandarin, your brain learns, oh, yeah, I'm doing well. Things are going great. But then you get surprised by the radio, listening to the radio one day, trying to maybe get your friend's house, and they goes, hey, want to watch Narcos? Want to watch Griselda? Want to whatever show on Netflix? Let's watch it. And then you're like, oh my God, I understand nothing. Or maybe you happen to go to a restaurant and the owner is from a country that speaks the language you're trying to learn. And then they're like, oh, and then you're like, hey, I'm learning that language. And you try and talk and nothing comes out. You're shocked by the disappointment. You didn't plan when you're going to be disappointed. So I think planned disappointment to be like, hey, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to try to use the language in the real world by listening to this, watching this, talking to someone, whatever it is. But I'm going to mentally brace and prepare myself for the fact that, okay, this is maybe not going to go as planned and might be a little bit difficult. I think this is my hypothesis that I'm running with. I think you can shield yourself from some of that shock when you prepare for it, when you're prepared, you know? It's kind of like, I forget where I heard this. Somewhere I heard that here's a better example, actually. If someone, I don't know if this will make sense to you. If someone punches you or hits you and it was unexpected, it takes you by surprise and is more painful. Maybe it isn't even physical pain. Maybe it's physical pain. Who knows, right? But at least emotionally, it's more painful minimally because you're surprised by it. But if you know the punch is coming, you know the hit's coming, you know the slot's coming, you can brace for it a bit. Yeah, it's still not pleasant, but you are at least prepared. You're able to brace. You're able to be ready for it. Doesn't hurt as much. I don't know if that analogy makes sense, but that's what's happening with the disappointment. And what's really cool is there's a little added bonus here that maybe you are preparing for disappointment and actually the interaction goes relatively well. Now you get a huge boost of self-confidence because you were like thinking, oh, this is not going to go super well. But then it did go well. And you're like, wow, amazing, good, look at me go, woohoo! So that's something else. So I think to recap so far, number one, support. Go seek out support, either from someone you know, like, hey, I'm really frustrated, I want to talk about this, like, what recommendations do you have? Or you can do it on Twitter, it's hashtag LANGTWT, type out, oh my God, I'm really struggling with this, any advice? Oh my God, I'm so frustrated, blah, blah, blah. People will go support you, very supportive group. I'm there regularly myself. Or maybe on a Facebook group. Those are three different options you can try. Or a fourth option is a tutor. Tell your tutor about how you're feeling. Okay? And then thing number two is understand that the disappointment comes from the fact that you're low on the transition curve. You are at this point, which is called crisis of meaning. It is rock bottom. It is a fight or flight type of moment. If you just keep going, things tend to get better. You have to know that. That's just true, especially if you got support. And then thing number three is understand the disappointment comes from a discrepancy between what you thought was real and what really is real, right? That's where it comes from. And so when you know that going in, when you know that, how do I say this? You can at least try to study in such a way where you brace for those disappointments. You brace for them. Okay. Now, the final thing I'll say is this, and this is something I'm actually wrapping my head around right now. I'm making this podcast because I actually had to think about how to get myself out of feeling very disappointed. I've been extremely disappointed in myself for, I would say, the past 24 to 48 hours, let's say. It's getting a little better. But for me, very quickly, I've been in business for 13 years. 5.5 years running a window cleaning business, 7.5 years running this business now, the Calgary Language Nerds. In my mind, I was at least pretty good at business. In my mind, I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm missing a couple tweaks, but you know, I'm pretty good at this. Now, as another part of me realized that, Azarin, yeah, you pay your bills, you make a living wage. Yes, you have some, you know, people working for you, but really, Azarin, we don't run like a very big business. Like, clearly, you're not as good as it's some part of your brain thinks you are, right? And I always was kind of aware of that discrepancy. But it's always unconsciously in the back of my mind, okay? So the other day, like I think yesterday for sure, but maybe even 2 days ago, it started to dawn on me just how many things I have left to learn to actually be good at business. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much I don't know. So much. I had the same realization for health and fitness, actually. And that's rough. Literally two realizations almost in the same day. And I was really rough. So I've been working on health and fitness since 2016. So that's, 8 years, basically. Almost 8 years. Actually, yeah, it's 8 years now. Business has been 13. And then you realize, oh my God, for 13 years, 8/13 years, depending on which skill you're looking at, I have had one version of reality in my head. I have just recently had some experiences in the actual real world that have showed me, no, Azarin, this is reality. And that burns. It hurts. It really sucks. It sucks. So, for me, what I've tended to do, I've had three experiences like that since last summer. Last summer is the first time I had a really big experience of, oh my God, I've had 20 in that last summer, it was like, what, 12? Yeah, you realize that something you thought was true, a core element of your being that you thought, that I thought was true, was not true. So 12 years. So last summer, I had a realization around how many realizations. One of them was how other people viewed me. I thought I was viewed in a certain way. And I had certain thoughts I hadn't examined that were just sort of sitting there. And they'd be there for at least for 12 years. And finally examined them. I was like, oh, this reality is not what I thought. So that hurt. And then I've had two recently, one with business, one with personal fitness and health. And I was like, oh God, years of my life crumbling. But what I've been telling, what's been helping me is, number one, like thinking about it, writing about it, talking about it, putting words to what I'm feeling. That's really helpful. And then just time, I guess, not running away from that yucky, icky feeling and realizing that the truth, reality is a better, maybe a better word, reality is better than delusion. And if you just try to stay on the side of reality, even if it's hurting, it is good for you. That's what I've been, you know, trying to tell myself, along with the other piece of advice that I already gave. Anything else I want to say? Yeah, maybe one last thing. Yeah, one last thing that I've been doing myself that's been kind of helpful over the past couple of days is trying to stack wins. When you're disappointed like that, it feels like you suffered a big loss, as in you've been putting in all this effort and it was for naught. It was for nothing. You work, use your app, use your classes, whatever you're doing. Study, practice, work. You have an interaction with the real world. The real world shows you just how far you have left to go. You feel super disappointed and it feels like all the effort you put in was for naught. It was a waste. It led to nothing. But that's actually not true. It just feels that way. But that's absolutely, I don't think that's true. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. Like, no, it's not like you put in all this effort for nothing. That was just building a foundation. Like, you, it wasn't a complete waste. It's only a waste if you just stop now. Then it becomes a waste. Something like that. All right, well, let's wrap this up here. Thanks for listening. Appreciate your attention as always. Bye-bye.